جميل. يعني سيف كبيرة is awake. بتفرج على بارشة فيشلاخ. And so 2 weeks ago was the last time I really did a Parshas, because last year was just a was kind of a recap for the Hamakom. We looked at the comment where Rashi says "Eini yodea mam lamdeinu," talking about Rivka being Aim Esav Yaakov. So that comment appears in this week's Parsha also. I mentioned in passing, and this is when Yaakov is coming back from his 22 years. Well, 20 years in Laban's house, and he comes back to Beit El, where he had made his where he stopped originally and had his dream, and he has another vision of Hashem. That's when his name is officially changed from Yaakov to Israel. And then it says Vayal Me'alav Elokim, and God rose from him, but Makom Asher Diber Ito, in the place where he had the past perfect had spoken to him before, and Rashi said Makom Asher Diber Ito Eini Yodea Mam Lamdeinu. I don't know what this is coming to. That's Rashi's comment.
Where did Lavan live? Near Beer Sheva?
No, north, the modern North Syria. Aram.
Oh, yeah, Aram. Aram.
Between the Tigris, in the northern part of the Tigris and Euphrates.
And he went, Yaakov went from the Beer Sheva region? No?
Well, he went, well, you know, he, they were living, they'd say Yaakov, right, he left Beer Sheva. It's Vayetse,
okay.
Last week was Vayetse Yaakov Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harana.
Oh, got it.
Okay, so he went north, and then he stopped in Beit El, and then kept going north until he got to Harana. Okay, so we had talked about this Eini Yodea like 3 years ago, evidently, but I'm going to do a different way of looking at it, kind of based on what I said 2 weeks ago about what Rashi means by Eini Yodea Mam Lamdeinu. Because Stuart Kleiman had pointed out when we did this 2 weeks ago in the Parsha Shir that here at least it seems pretty straightforward. When Mamalam Dana tells us that Hashem spoke to him in the same place where he spoke to him before, they basically came back to where he had left from. But if you look at the context, then Rashi's question is a lot clearer because it's redundant, because it says it over and over again. Look what it actually says. So this is Yaakov coming back. What's the name of the highway that goes basically Shechem to Beit El to Yerushalayim down to Hebron? Is that the six?
Six is north and south.
North, south, up in the south through the center of the country. That's basically Yaakov's route. Okay, Vayibo Yaakov Luzah, Asher Beretz Kanan. So Yaakov comes back to Luz in the land of Canaan, he Beit El, which is the city of Beit El. He called it Beit El. The city's name was Luz. Huvachol Amasheri Mo. He and all the whole people and all the people who were with him. They even chum his bear, and he builds an altar there. They call Makom Kel Beitel, and he calls the Makom as Hashem, or the he named the Mizbeach of the God who appeared to him in Beitel. He shum diglu Elokim, because that's where God had appeared to him, Bevarachom and Peachiv, where when he had, was running away from his brother. So when he was there, he doesn't build an altar. He sets up a monument. When he comes back, he actually builds a mizbeach. And then Hashem appears to him and says that your name is now going to be Israel. I am God. Pray, Reveh, you shall be fruitful, multiply. Goyu, Kagayimi, Mecca. You will be the ancestor of nations. Malachim, Mechel, Tzacha, Yetzeyu. And kings will come from your loins. But Arz, Sheratati, Labraham, Yitzchak, Lecha, Tenena. And the land that I've given to Avraham Yitzchak, I will give to you. Zarecha acharecha teret aretz, you will get this land. Vayal me'alav elokim b'makom asher dibir eto, and that's the pasuk we're concerned about. And then Hashem arises from him in the place where he had spoken to it. Vayatsev Yaakov matseva, and I would read this as the part of the flashback. And Yaakov, you know, where Hashem had spoken to him, and Yaakov had set up a monument, but Makom Asher Diber Ito, and that's where it gets written, right? The same thing. Makom Asher Diber, the place where he's spoken to him, in the place where he had spoken to him, Matzevet Oven, the stone monument, Vayesech Alen Nesach, Vayetzok Alen Shemen, and he had poured oil on it, and had a wine libation, and poured oil, Vayekral Yaakov Akshem Makom Asher Diber Ito Sham, and Yaakov called the place where God had spoken to him, Elokim Beit El, he called it Beit El. That's what I think. What Rashi's bothered, it's like he keeps going over. This is the place where God spoke to him. This is the place where God spoke. This is the place where God spoke. Eni yodea ma amdenu. I don't know what to say, right?
And Rashi says that on the last
On the
one,
first one.
on the first one.
First one. Okay.
That's not yet redundant.
That is true, but I'm assuming Rashi says that we know what the whole paragraph says. So I
Yeah.
think that's my thought. Why is it emphasizing this Makom Asher Diber Ito?
Right.
Okay, and I'm going to go back and I'm just going to read. This is what happened before, right? All this story about the monument and the libation and this. Right. Okay. Where we said this was back from last week's parsha when he goes out by Yaakov he Betel. Oh, I just quoted that. Sorry. By Yaakov Haran, right? He left Beersheba. He heads toward Haran. By Makom, we talked about that last week, and he encountered the place or encountered Hashem God. By Elon Shemesh, and he's rested there because the sun went down. By Kachmei Nakom. By Yasam Rishatav, and he took the rocks and put around his head. By Yashkava Makomahu, and you. Lay in that place. By Yashkem Yaakov Boker, after the dream, he wakes up early. By Kachat the Ebenesh Yasam Rishatav, by he takes the rock that he had been laying on, and he establishes it. He sets it up as a monument. By Yitzok Shemen Arusha and anoints it with oil. Instead, by Yikra, by Yikra Shem Makomahu Beit El, and he calls that place Beit El. V'ulam Luz Shemer Ir L'Rishana, but it was previously named Luz. So it's not actually the city of Lu. I mean, he's not actually in the middle of a city. He's obviously out in the middle of nowhere. But it's by the city of Luz. And this place, but he calls this place Beit El, the house of God. And Yaakov takes an oath and says, if God is with me and guards me, and gives me food and clothing, and when I come back to my father's house, but yeah, Hashem Elokim, and God, again, God will be my God. I will serve him. But Evadazar Yeah Beit Elokim. And this rock that I have set here as a monument will be the house of God. And I will tithe. So that's what he's doing now. He's come back now, and now he builds a mizbeach here. He's be by Krab Hashem. Hashem is calling the name of God. This is all the things he's supposed to do. So. What is it important to know that Bayal? That's where we're coming with this. So it starts out with this expression of Bayal. And God arose from him. And that actually occurs before. And that's with Abraham. Abraham gets has his vision, the commandment to do Brit Milah. It ends with Bayal Deberito. And Hashem finished speaking with him. Vayal Elokim me'al Abraham. God arose from on Abraham. And the way Rashi looks at it is that it tells us something about the role of the Avot in the world. So it doesn't mean that this going up is not that the Nevuah ended, because that's what Vayechal Deber Ito had already stopped. But the idea that Shekhinah arose from them and then into the rest of the world. They became the source of Elokim in the world. And that's what the Mefarshim explained by Elkim Me'al Abraham, not that they left, but they became that became the source, right? Me'al Abraham. Rashi says, Loshu Nikiyahu, and here Rashi says it's a euphemism with respect to the Shekhinah. And Ramban quoting Rashi says, Loshan Kavod. It's an honorable way of putting it. Papayamakal. Lamanu Sha Tzadikim Merkav Makom, and teaches us that the Tzadikim are the chariot of God.
Wow, the Merkava.
Right. They are the that's what Merkava is. The Avodah of the Merkava and the Ramban, this is Rashi's comment, but Ramban expanding on that is Lashon Kavod Klav Makom, Lamanu Sha Tzadikim Merkav Toshel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lashon Rashi. Aval Lashonam Beveshit Rabba, the actual language in the Midrash is Havot Hein Hamerkava.
Oh.
Specifically, the Avot are the Merkava. What's the Merkava?
What?
It's a Kabbalistic idea. We'll have to talk about that. Yirmoz lozeh, and what the hint to this is when it says Titene met Yaakov, Chesed la'Avraham, Pachad Yitzchak. All those terms are hints what it means to be the Merkava. That Yaakov serves Hashem through Emet. We know this idea that they have their own. Everyone has their way of serving Hashem. Avraham through Chesed, Yitzchak through Pachad, through Yira, Awe. That's the Avodah. And Ramban ends this with Hamaskil Yavin.
I thought Yitzchak was Gevurah.
Yeah, those are the same thing. The idea is that
Gevurah is Pachad.
Gevurah is din, that's a sense of awe as opposed to Ahava, which represents by Chesed. Yeah, those all go together. Those all go together. Yes, but that's the Gevurah side is the transcendent nature of God. That's the Pachad Yitzchak. Right, Maskil Yavin is okay. If you're wise, you'll know this. If you understand this, you'll understand this. This is a really Kabbalistic idea.
A maskil yavin sounds like it's an in joke, you know.
But
If you're
it's
in,
not so much a joke, but it's an in, as sense it's
not a
Kabbalistic.
joke, it's an in
It's
thing.
an in. That's exactly what it means, right? So that, I mean, this is the Kabbalistic idea that each of the avot represent a certain sphera. A certain way Hashem is manifest in the world. And Ramban's not telling you right there, he's not going to go into it more. Maskil Yavin. If you understand this, you'll find. Gur Aryeh says it a little bit more, explaining this idea of what it means, their Merkava. What does it do with Sefirot? Like, the explanation for this. Ki al yadam hashchina shura ba'aretz. Because it's through God that the Shechina appears in the world. That's what the throne of God is. Yisei HaKavod is how Hashem manifests in the world. It's called the
Not
Merkava
through
because,
God, through the avot.
right, the throne of God is how God manifests in the world, and the Avot are that throne. Hashem manifests in the world through the Avot. That's what it means. That's what the Merkava is, right? Because the Merkava is the Kisei Hashem. It's called Merkava chariot because in Yechezkel's vision, they're installing the Ofanim, they're installing wheels onto the Kisei in order for it to go into exile because it's leaving the Beit HaMikdash, which is being destroyed. That's what the Avot of Merkava means, that Shechina is manifest in the world through their actions. That's why the Avot are the Kisei of the Shechina. And that's what he means by Bayal Elohim Me'al Avraham. Or Be'al Me'alav Elohim means that at this point they were the Shekhinah. The sense of divine in the world was palpable through them and through their actions. And each of them had their own way of doing that. The Chesed Avraham, Pachad Yitzchak, etc. That's what they say in the Avodah of the Merkabah. As a side point, that's why Ramban understands what the Mishkan, the Mikdash, is supposed to be, is that we are supposed to be the Merkabah. All of us
Is
now.
there a thing about Merkava that it travels? Like
Right,
it's not like a kisei. It's like a traveling.
that's why Yechezkel sees it as a Merkava as opposed to a Kisei,
Right.
because it is now traveling. Because in his
Oh, I
vision,
see.
it's the Churban, it's
Wait a minute.
leaving the Beit
Just
HaMikdash.
want to get a piece of paper and a pencil. If I get what's I'm gonna write them down. Remember them. Okay, things I want to look up.
Okay.
The
Okay.
Merkava. Okay.
Okay. So that's the idea that the Mayal Me'alav Elokim is telling us that Yaakov is the Merkabah. This is the place where the Shekhinah was palpable, and the Psukim emphasize here that it was here in Bethel, Makom Shediber Ito. Mayal Me'alav Makom Shediber. This is where Mayal Me'alav. This is the place on earth where Shekhinah was palpable.
Where do we think Beit El was? Yerushalayim? No.
No. Here's a nice little map over here. This is hypothetical, but here's Yerushalayim, there's Yericho, there's Ai. Beit El and Ai are obviously next to each other. Shiloh is down the road. It's like going take a take the road between Shechem and Yerushalayim, and it's about halfway. So
So
Beit El is
also
the north.
halfway from sea to
Yeah,
sea is
yeah.
halfway.
About that. So if you think of the shape at Binyamin. Yerushalayim is at the border between Binyamin and Yehuda in the south, then Bethel is the border between Binyamin and Ephraim in the north.
Oh.
Okay. So we look at where Bethel. So this is the way the Kli Yakar understands both the Pasuk and Rashi's problem. God rose from Yaakov in a place. Here's Rashi. Ma Babylon. They knew, right? That's everybody's bothered. What is Rashi telling us this for, right? Doesn't know. Belinira. So not going to answer Rashi's. I'm not going to try to understand why Rashi doesn't know, but I'm going to say what I think it's going on. Right? It's part of this idea that the Avodah Merkabah is how the divine becomes palpable, manifest in the world. To Beit HaMikdash Shalamata, connected Beit HaMikdash Shalamala, Kiyadua. We know that Beit HaMikdash, down below, the place where you build the Beit HaMikdash is somehow connected to the Beit HaMikdash Shalamala, our experienced divine above. That's it's a holy place. You can feel the skin there. She Yaakov Hayakshab in Beit El, the Luz, that Yaakov was right now in Beit El, outside Luz, the Shem Shara Shamayim, and that he says that. You know, this is Vizeshara Shamayim. This is the gates of heaven. Nichabruhen im Hara Moriah, because as though these places, Bethel, who's became one with Mahara Moriah. More Kamuvar like it was Rashi says it, that the Hara Moriah was brought here to Bethel and Parshat Vayetze. And if it hadn't said this in this particular place, that Hashem has spoken to him. From there it went up. It wasn't from Beit El that the Shekhinah became manifest, but it was somewhere else. Right, Hashem went up specifically from here. And so the Yaakov is down here. Shekhinah is above him. That Beit El is a place of the Mikdash Shalmala. So Beit El is a place of the Mikdash Shalmala. Okay, that's why Yaakov says Zeh Shamayim. That's first. I didn't realize it, but this is it. This is a place to daven. This place here in Beit El. And Midrashot, that this holy place here somehow spiritually connects to the Beit Midrash above.
Wait, the phrase was this Sha'ar Hashamayim. Yaakov
That
said
is, Yaakov said that right at the beginning, right?
that?
Right? I cried, man, come on, Beit El. Let's take a look inside. Right, by Yerav Imar Mana Rama Komazeh in Zeki in Beit Elokim. This is the house of God. Vizeh Shar Shemayim. That's Yaakov's
Wow.
words. This is Shar Shemayim.
Wow.
Okay, so that's what he's looking at.
That's big that the Shemayim has something to do with God.
That's what he's saying. That this is the gate. This is where tefillah goes into. This is where you want to be praying here, right? That's the Beit Mikdash, the Beit Tefillah HaChol. That's that. So that Beit Mikdash Shalmala is Beit Shemata. That's what it means to say, Vayal Me'alav Kim, Bama Koma Shedibirato. This was the place. So what's bothering Rashi? He says, Enyo De'Malam De'Nu, because that's a trick question. Because the Beit Mikdash is not in Beit El. It's in Yerushalayim, right? That's the problem, is that Yaakov says, this is Beit Elokim, this is Shaar Shamayim, this is Bakoma Shedibere To, this is Keneged Beit El Mikdash Shalmala, and it's nowhere in Yerushalayim. Okay, and that's the point of this map over here. Okay, it's a different place. And we've talked about what Beit El means throughout Tanakh. Okay, so Ramadan says it's not so simple. that the Beit HaMikdash is Yerushalayim. Torah never says where to put the Beit HaMikdash, right? The Makom HaShev HaHashem. Ramadan says that it was the location of what could have been the Beit HaMikdash. So what does Yaakov say? Yaakov has, at the end of his life, in Vayechi, tells Yehuda, Yehuda ataya ducha achacha. Yehuda, you're acknowledged, it's a pun there, by your brothers, your hand will be on the nape of your enemies. Your brothers will bow down to you. You are a lion. You arise from the prey. You crouch like a lion. And like, a lot of words in Hebrew for lions. Like a lion, none will make you get up when you're not ready. And important line, that the scepter will not depart from Yehuda, rulership will not depart from his descendants, Adikia vo Shiloh, until Shiloh cometh, or till he comes to Shiloh, Lo yikatamim, and all the nations are gathered to him. It's very unclear what Adikia vo Shiloh means. Everyone has different
What's Mechokek?
Mechokek, like chok, and rulership.
Oh.
The act of creating laws.
Ad Yavo Shiloh. Okay.
So we don't know what that means. So this is Rav Madan's hypothesis. Of course, we know the word Shiloh appears nowhere else in the Torah, but it doesn't appear in Yeshua. Because the Mishkan is established in the city of Shiloh, which we have is over here. Right?
They come Eli, right? Eli was there.
Eli was there at the end of Mishkan Shiloh, right? 369 later. 369 years after it was founded. Yeshua comes to the land, they enter at Gilgal, they fight battles, and when things are settled, they move the Mishkan to Shiloh. They call Kodapet Israel Shiloh, by Ishkenu Shamet Ol Moed, and they establish the Ol Moed there. It's a real building there. It's got real walls and doors and things like that, but still has the cloth roof. Ars Nich Mashal Nehem, and that land was conquered, and it talks about dividing the land. But we don't know why Shiloh was chosen.
Right.
It just seems to be clearly arbitrary. We know it was close to Beit El, okay? For instance, in Shoftim, at the end of Shoftim, Pelegesh Begiva, when they come to the Mishkan, it says, by Luka Ben Yisrael, B'chol Am, Ben Yisrael come with all the people, by Avo Beit El, they go to Beit El, by Yivku, and they cried because they just had the civil war, by Yishu Sham L'tnei Hashem, and they sat there before God in Beit El. By Tzuma, by Yom Ahu, out of Erev, they fasted. By Yilu Alot, Shalmim, with Hashem, they offered sacrifices. By Yishub, by Yitzchel, by Hashem, they asked in God. B'Sham Aaron Brit Elokim, by Yom Ahem. See, Aaron was there in Beit El.
Oh.
And the Radak says, by Bo Beit El, Hanir Rabbe Nag, Ki Al Shilo Amar, right? That's talking about Shilo. Beit El was Shilo. Yasham Aaron, V'nikra Beit El, Beit Hashem is called the House of God. And similarly, we have in later in Shoftim, when he talks about the...
Yeah, wait, Danny, why is that Beit El, you have that El as if it's God's name?
Because that, he's reading it as, it's called Beit El because it's literally the house of God, because the Mishkan's there. So this is the Bayit of Hashem.
It's different than the first...
Right. So the question is whether by Avo Beit is it Beit El's name of the city, or is it Beit Kel, meaning to the house of God?
Right.
Ramadan's going to say it's the same thing.
Okay.
Right? That his point is going to be that this map is wrong, and that Shiloh and Beit El really are, that Shiloh is a place outside of Beit El.
Oh.
Right? And that those, that it was established in Shiloh, because that was where Yaakov said, Ad Kivol Shiloh is Yaakov's point, that until you come back to Shiloh, which is the name of the place outside Beit El, which I said was going to be Beit Elokim, you will put the
Mishkan
there.
It's not like a new place, a prophetic new place. It's a place where he was.
Right. That's Ramadan's point, is that Yaakov is telling you're going to come back. You are all going to come back to Eretz Israel. We're living in Egypt now. Yehuda, you are the king, and you will continue to be the king, and you will establish Ad Ki Yavo Shiloh. Look, and the people will all come together. The nations will all gather together at what and in Shiloh, where which will be the Beit Elokim, right? I'm not calling it Beit Mikdash. That name doesn't come till later.
Okay, so it's
That's right.
Beit El, but it's still not Yerushalayim.
It's not Yerushalayim. That's the point. But that's it. That Beit El is the other place that Yaakov wants to establish the Beit Mikdash in Yerushalayim, in Yer Beit El, right?
Yeah.
For instance, here's yeah, now in later in Shoftim it talks about talks about the holiday in Shiloh, right? That there was a festival in Shiloh, right? They would celebrate at the Mishkan that was in Shiloh every year. Asher mitzfonu beit el, that was north of Beit El, Mizrach Hashemesh, a little bit east of the road. Haolemi Beit El El Shechemah. That the road from Beit El to Shechem, I think that's the sixth. So the actual Shiloh was actually just north of Beit El and east of the road, place off there. So right now, if you go to a place that's called Bethel, there's a city there, and there's a city called Shiloh, and they're 16 kilometers apart.
This is true now.
This is true now, right? In terms of the cities that are there.
Oh.
Ramadan says explicitly that the location is right, that the Beit El that Yaakov was talking about has got to be close to Shiloh, is simply this. Shiloh is the valley that's outside Beit El, the mountain, right? Perhaps we may locate it north of Beit El today. So the Beit El that Yaakov's talking about is north of the modern Beit El, the mountains overlooking the settlement of Shiloh from the south.
Okay.
Okay, that explains everything here, that there's a city of Beit El, the suburb of that, where the Mishkan's place is called Shiloh. It's not a separate city. Beit El is Shiloh. We assume that Yaakov Beit El is related to an anchor in the sanctity of Shiloh in later generations. In other words, there really was a Mishkan there. So we have this
And
tension.
also Luz, it used to be Luz.
Luz, right. And that, but we're not going to worry about this old city,
No,
the name of the
right.
city. But that's it. But the idea that we have this tension between these two potential locations of Beit Mikdash. We have Yaakov Beit El or Shiloh, and Abraham's Yerushalayim Har HaMoriah. Historically, right? That for Abraham, Yaakov, we saw it by that this is going to be the Beit Elohim. And Abraham on Har HaMoriah says, "V'yikra Abraham Shem Makomahu Hashem Yireh." We'll see. Asher Yemer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yireh. That here, God will be seen. That's Yerushalayim. So, what's the right answer? Where is Beit HaMikdash built? In Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
That's easy, right? And we have this wonderful Tilma Ayin Chet is kind of the history of the Jewish people. It's long. I mean, this is Psukim 60 to 68 here, summary. This goes on forever. But one thing it talks about is Vayitosh Mishkan Shiloh Ol Shachan Ba'adam, that God is from a David's time, God spurned the Mishkan in Shiloh, the tent where God had dwelt among people, Yosef, and he hated the tent that was in Yosef, again that border between Binyamin and Ephraim. Yosef, Ephraim lo bachar, did not choose Ephraim, but Yehuda. God chose Yehuda, heart Tzion asher ahav, God loves Tzion.
Wow.
God chooses Tzion over them. So now we
But
understand Rashi
it's a
is.
very strong, he hated them and
Yes.
he chose them. It
Yes.
wasn't like this or this, maybe
Yeah. So
this.
it's worth looking at the Tehillim inside. I would read it much more, that one particular, as a warning about Yerushalayim as well, that just like God went from loving Shiloh to hating Shiloh, be
Right.
careful. If you look, Yirmiyahu says exactly that. Yirmiyahu at the destruction of Beit Midash tells them, go, I want you guys to go to the ruins of Shiloh and see what happens. If you don't listen to God, don't think, oh, I've got this Beit HaMikdash, it's going to last forever. But that's a separate issue. But here we have this, right? But now we have Rashi's asking, any Yodea Mam Lam Danu, if we're reading here about the importance of this place, the Baal Melo Kim, Ba Makom HaShadi Berato, in this particular place, then why is the Torah emphasizing that about Beit El?
Yeah.
If Yerushalayim is the right place, right? Beit HaMikdash Shalmala Mechuva Keneged Beit HaMikdash Shalmata, but this isn't the place of Beit HaMikdash Shalmata. What happens to it? So I'm going to propose, just like we said last time, that any Yodea Mam Lam Danu is telling us by a dialectic. Right? And it was also there last time, it was also about the Right, Hashem hates Esav, loves Yaakov. It's not so simple.
Right.
I think that's true here too, because Yerushalayim and Beit El represent two different ways of serving Hashem. What's noticeable about Har Moriah is that Avram doesn't choose the place. Right, Hashem says, "Kachna bincha yichdecha." Right, lech lecha eretz Moriah. Go to this land of Moriah. Aleo Shamlola and offer your son as a sacrifice. Al Achad Harim Asher Melalecha. God says, you're going to go to the place that I'm going to tell you. So he gets up and he goes. Vayelach Malkom Asher Amar Tolakim. He goes to the place where God has told him. And Yom Shishi Vayisah Avram Eina Vayart Malkom Merachok. And he sees the place. He doesn't choose it. Hashem tells it to him. Yaakov did choose his place, right? Yaakov decides to sleep there. He gets up and he takes the stone, right? And he says, this is going to be the place. Yerushalayim is where we serve Hashem according to Hashem's rules. Beit El is where we make decisions. We decide what we're going to do. Right? Yaakov decides how he's going to serve Hashem in this place. Avram just follows God's rules. So we know the right answer, right? The right answer is we do whatever God says. Okay, Beit El is the wrong place to Beit Midash. And it becomes obvious even later from Yeravam. Yeravam is when it splits the kingdom. He establishes the northern kingdom. What's the first thing he does when he splits the kingdom? He sets up his own Beit Midash. Where?
Beit
In
El?
Beit El. Yes.
Oh.
Okay. Yomer Yeravam Bilibo. So Yeravam tells himself, I'm the king here of the northern kingdom. Wonderful. But if I'm not careful, the kingdom's going to return to Beit David. Because all the people are still going to go to Yerushalayim to the Beit Midrash there. They're going to offer sacrifice there. And everyone's going to think Yerushalayim is obviously the capital. They're all going to be return their loyalty to Rechavam. Bargani, and they're going to kill me. V'shevel Rechava Melchidon, they will become loyal to Rechava, king of Yehuda, the grandson of David. Yot HaMelech, so the king took advice. V'yashnei Egle Zahav, so he builds two golden calves.
Chris, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So weird.
Okay, we've talked about the golden calves, basically their Kruvim, right? He's rebuilding the Kruvim. But he wants it. Rayomer Alehem, Rav Lachem, Elot Yerushalayim. So he tells the people, don't bother going to Yerushalayim anymore. Hine Elohecha Yisrael, these are your gods here. Sher Lucham Eretz Mitzrayim. Just like the eagle Zahav, right? If you learn anything from Jewish history, don't make golden calves. So he does that. We talked about in the Tanakh class, right? Extensively. Ayasim et Echab Bet El. So and he puts one of these in Bet El. Et Echad Netan B'dan. And one of them he puts all the way north in Dan. That's where Pesel Micha was. He asked you, Rava Machag B'chodesh Hashmini, B'chamishtar Sal Yom L'chodesh. And Rava, that's his new holiday, this one in Cheshvan, in the 15th of the month, Chag Asher B'Yudah, to correspond to the Chag, to Sukkot, that was in Tishrei. So he gets himself a new Beit HaMikdash.
This is Chamishah Asar
in Chodesh Hashmini, the 15th of Cheshvan.
Maybe that's why we call it Mar Cheshvan.
Because he made his
because
own holiday.
This event.
It could be, right? And the Mar means bitter, right? That he says,
yeah.
He figures, right, we're gonna make our new holiday here, a new official Sukkot holiday. Did it be in Cheshvan? Ayala Mizbeach. Zevach Lagolim Asher Asa. And that's what he did at Beit El. New holiday, new sacrifices, new eagle and right, the Mibet El Kore Bamota Sherasan, he establishes his own priests in Beit El. Okay, Beit El is where you serve, he's serving Hashem, right? These are all to Hashem, not like to some other god, but I make the rules, I'll do it my way.
And this is Shiloh, kind of.
This becomes right. This is probably, and I would say this is why he picks Beit El, because it's got the historical significance.
Yeah.
This is where Shiloh was. That's what I'm down for, and I think that makes sense. You know, that's why he picks it here. So we call that the symbolism, right? Yerushalayim, where God tells us what to do. Beit El, where we decide how we serve Hashem. And Betel is wrong, right? Hates Betel. So 2 weeks ago, I proposed that Enu Demamdenu tells us that the truth isn't simple, that there's a dialectic. And I think there's something similar here. Because we know Yerushalayim is right and Betel is wrong. Betel is wrong. But the Torah still tells us, Vayal, this place that Yaakov chose is still a place of Vayal. The Beit El also has this aspect of Mikdash Shel Mala, Mechuvan Neged Mikdash Shel Mata. It's there. Because there is a place for human input in Avodat Hashem. And that's the important part. When Hashem tells us, you need to build the Beit Midash, the words are, because that one place that God will choose from among your tribes to place his name there, you will seek out his presence, and you will go there. And the Sifrei on that says that the Shechnot Tidushu means Drosh al Pi HaNavi. You have to ask the Navi, where do we build this Beit Midah? Maybe you think, well, I'm just going to wait till Navi tells me. No. You need to seek it out. You need to find it. And then afterwards, you can ask the Navi, is this the right place? It has to be there. Because the Kabbalists talk about the Itzruta de Latata, literally, the awakening from below. Okay. Right? The inspiration that comes from human beings. So if you don't get the quotes right. Okay. And that is what brings about the Itaruta de Ela, which is the awakening from above, which is Hashem's providence. It starts from what we do. There's always this place, the Beit El has to be there. Rav Dessler has this fascinating article about the fact that Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. David couldn't build, did not build the Beit HaMikdash. It says that this Itruta Dilatata, this awakening from below, was missing from the Beit HaMikdash that was built in Yerushalayim. Shlomo did it, Al Pi Navi, fine, but it didn't have the people involved in it. And that's why it was vulnerable to being destroyed.
Really? You know, from the beginning, it wasn't so hot.
From the beginning, yeah. The Medrash says that if David had built it, it would have lasted forever. And the Medrash says that was destiny. That was a good thing because then, if Bnei Israel had sinned, then Hashem would have punished them and not destroyed the building. The building would have lasted if many people left. So it worked out. It was okay that that happened. But this is the way. This is the Michtam Eliyahu. Hare lemanu shel kol itruuta de latata ma'orerat itruuta de la'ela. That we know that inspiration, human inspiration, inspiration from below, awakens this inspiration from above, divine providence. A yachas b'nehem, and the relationship kaven chudo shel machel pitcho shel ulam, and it's like the relationship is like between the eye of a needle and the opening and the opening of a grand hall. We have the famous medrash about pitchuli petach chudo shel machel, that you just open the you give me a small opening, God says to us. Do a little bit, like the eye of a needle, and I'll etach lachem peta kipitcho shel ulam, and I will open it up far more there. But it's got to start from you. Loma riboy rivo pamim, will be much greater. Ilubana David hamelach alav shalom at Beit Hamidash b'mechinat ha'ava. David had built it with a sense of ava, in the sense of unity, and by the way he puts it as the unity of all of Israel. And then there would be nothing wrong. Even if Bnei Israel had sinned, and then that they would not have warranted owning the Beit Midash, that would still have been okay if David had built it. He itruta de latata de ava, because this is inspiration below. If David had built it with this itruta de latata, with everyone coming together, as opposed to imposing it, that ahava ara aide David, that would have been awakened with David, haita meviel me'ela, that would have brought from above, avara al midat adin, God would have would have gotten over, would have bypassed the Midat Din Ad Shiata Haketagrog and Nisgarla El Batalbo, and then the prosecution of Bnei Yisrael saying they sinned, it wouldn't have happened. If David had managed to pull that together, Beit HaMikdash would never have been destroyed.
But he wanted to, but God didn't let him.
Right. So part of the right. So that's it. You can read the whole essay in Mitzvah Melayahu if you have that. Talks about that. That was like Hashem said that, you know, I'm not going to let you do that. And he, when he puts it, is because you haven't put together this Abba. You're going to build it. If you built it, it would be still be Minat Din, and it wouldn't be destroyed. But then Bnei Yisrael would be destroyed. It's going to work out better. He said, if we had pulled this together. And the Ramban talks about that as well. Bnei Yisrael had wanted the Beit HaMikdash to be built, then David could have built it.
This is like a diss on Shlomo.
This is a, yes, you're going to read that. This is saying that the Beit HaMikdash as built was inherently flawed. That it was entirely from above. It was not of the people. It was not of Klal Yisrael as a whole.
Huh.
That was a flaw that was in it. And that flaw grew until the
Where
kingdom.
Where do we see that when Shlomo was? Where do we see that there was something negative about Shlomo building
well,
it?
At the end of his life, certainly, you know, he falls apart and Hashem sets up all these enemies there. But it comes obvious in Rechavam, his son. Okay, let's look at the story that the people come to Rechavam and say, Shlomo, your father, worked us too hard, right? He established the mas, the levy, we had to work. You've got to be better than Shlomo was to us. People come to him and say that.
So that tells us there was something
coming
wrong.
There. And Rechavam's response is that, you know, he whipped you with whips of cord. I'm going to whip you with scorpion tails. And then they rebel and the whole kingdom falls apart.
So when we think of Beit El, we have negative thoughts that was a negative time in our history? Beit El. When you think of Beit El, you think of what?
Right. We think about Yeravam and the Egel Azav that he builds there.
Yeah.
The negative.
Negative, right.
My point here is that it's not so simple. It's a dialectic. That even though Beit El is just as Beit El was, Yeravam making stuff up as went along, there still needs to be some of that, I want this to happen. Some of the people doing this.
And that we get from the Yaakov story.
And that Yaakov is emphasizing that Yaakov is there, and that there has to be some there. That the dialect is that everything has to come from Hashem, and everything has to come from us at the same time. Both of those are true.
And go back to what Rashi was saying. What was Rashi's thing?
Oh, that Rashi's point was the, right, but Makom HaShem Yivetel, Eini Yode Mam Le. I'm not sure what, I'm reading this as, I don't know what to do with this, right? The Torah is telling us about the importance of Beit El and Yaakov's Beit Elohim here. And as I said, I think Eini Yode Mam Le is not so much, I don't know what it means, but what do I do with this now? Because it makes things much more complicated.
The fact that that it's not Yerushalayim, so why is it so big?
I think that it's more than that. It's that clearly the Torah is telling us that Beit El is important, even though it seems to be so negative. That's what we're saying, that there was some positive side to that we need to include as well.
We had this Eini
Yode, which was about Yaakov and Esau.
Right, but you kind of, that Rashi is saying there are all these different explanations, and I'm not sure which one is right. Isn't that what we said last time?
I started out with that, but I said that's not how I want to read it. I'm reading it here. But
right.
I'm reading it the same way as saying that there's dialectic, that yes, Esau, Sone, Yaakov, absolutely. But it's not that simple, that there is some Ava there too, and we have something to learn from Esau.
And that reading works here too, right?
Exactly. I'm saying that the Enyo de Mamdeno is telling us that I can't give you a pshat answer. There isn't a simple answer here because what looks like simple is more complicated than that. If we simply reject Beit El, then I am missing what the Torah is telling us by saying that Vayal Me'alav here in Beit El. Even though you know that Ma'ivimas Oel Shiloh, God hated Shiloh, everything fell apart there, Ravan builds Egel Zavin in Beit El, but
So he, when he says Eniodea, he does know. He's just saying it's not so simple.
that is the way I am reading that. That if he doesn't know, he wouldn't say anything. I am going to impose this on Rashi as saying Enyo de Mamdeno is,
This is so confusing. I can't get my head around it easily.
or I am writing a, I've got one paragraph here. This is going to take the rest of your life. This is not a commentary on Torah, one line on Torah kind of thing to explain. Now spend the rest of your life learning it.
And you said he says this four times?
No, twice.
And these are the two.
These are the two.
And we'll finish with that.
They
And they're very close.
very close.
Eniodea Yeah. So
Interesting.
Beit El, yeah. Eniodea, Eniodat. I have a name for
Okay.
your book.
The book.
When you're going to write your book?
Oh yeah, I thought you were gonna do a Talmud
It
Vatik.
has like
You
a
are,
few double meanings,
yeah.
okay? How do you know that?
How do you know that the name of the book? I think
Yeah.
that's already what's the name? Jay Harris's book named that, right?
Really?
What's it say?
Because it's, something people say to you, but that's a little boasting. But this way, it's like, I'm going to teach you. Like, you know things, but you don't know, remember the sources. And why do you think that? And this is the source. This is how you know it. How do you know that?
Yeah, this is how do we know this? This is by Jay
Whoa.
Harris.
Oh, there is a name.
And look, he's a professor at Harvard, or was a professor at Harvard, about Midrash.
How do we know this? And yours is going to be, how do you know
How
that?
do you know that? The question usually is, why do you know that?
Why?
That's what people ask. People are usually
Right,
ask.
that's what, right,
And
that's what
I
they're
say, why do you know?
asking.
It's not that it's just
Yeah,
like, I know because I've looked this up, but why do you know that?
So could you go for 1 minute back to that pasuk with Avraham, that Hashem Yira'eh? Because I think it's a little bit of a pun there.
Yes, it's Har HaMoriah, right? Hashem Yira, he calls a place Hashem Yira, God will see. Asher Yomar, that's a comment by Moshe in the Torah that we say today, Bahar Hashem Yera'eh, will be seen.
It's like
That's
he's
all.
playing. It's like, well, it reminded me of when Moshe asks God, "What's your name?" And God says, "Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh."
Okay, right. This is
Is
Yera'eh.
that it? Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh.
What name should I
And
tell
God
you?
is just saying, "Leave. I'm not giving you my name. I am who I am. I'm not telling you who I am. Just leave me alone." And instead, we take it literally. Oh, that's your name. Yes, yeah.
Right. You're saying that, but
So
right, that you are the one who
somehow
is.
this, right.
This is that the mountain of God where Hashem Yera'eh, literally it will be seen. That's the Yerushalayim part, right? It's Shalem beforehand. Now it's as the Yira Shalem.
Hashem Yira. Oh, does that mean we'll be seen or we'll be
Will be
feared?
seen. Will
Will be seen.
be seen.
Okay.
There we go. Let's see how each.
Maybe you could call your book A Maskil
Okay, I've shown this. Right.
Anybody take
Somebody's
that
called
one
that.
yet?
So, Meir just asked me about whether Representative David wrote the Pachad Yitzchak, which was written by Rav Huttner. So Maria David was his daughter. She passed away last year. They said she didn't write it, she edited it. She prepared for publication with her father's work. So then I asked, she was just learning Pachad Yitzchak. So then I asked, do you want to edit my Sfarim?
Oh.
And she said, sure. So I don't know if I know about to split this one up.
Is Rahib named Daniel?
Yes. Okay, well, I'm going to stop here. Thank you very much.